I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be talking about how the omega-3 fatty acids reduces your risk of atherosclerosis, a major contributor to heart disease and death. That's just one of many examples of how to live a longer and healthier life by preventing an illness. And we don't do that very well in the United States. In fact, about 93% of all adults do not live a healthy lifestyle. Now, I'm not blaming them for that because of the high level of conditioning and propaganda and advertising and just commonly shared values. Salty and crispy and crunchy and sweet and soft, ice creams and cheesecakes. And yet this is what we're told to eat day after day after day. Even when you see a hamburger, you'll see the bacon, the hamburger, and then you might see a piece of iceberg lettuce and a tomato that's probably genetically engineered. And then on top of that, I recently saw one that had potato chips crunched up and French fries or onion rings, all on a highly processed, refined carbohydrate bun. All of that is dangerous. All of that contributes to disease. All of that thickens your blood, making you more susceptible to clotting and strokes and heart attacks. Whereas if you're eating a healthy plant-based diet, and I hope that you will try it, or at least some parts of it, you'll find that your blood is thinner, it's more oxygenated, you have better circulation, and then when you start exercising, you increase that microcirculation to the brain and to the extremities. And so that way you keep yourself healthy as you age. By the way, even our young children are getting obese, having heart disease and arthritis. Oh, by the way, if you see my hair today, I just got out of the shower. And what I do, and this is a part of my protocol, is every third day of a week, I will take 1 teaspoon of olive oil and 1 teaspoon of coconut oil, rub them together, and I just massaged it into my scalp for about 5 minutes. This is nourishing the scalp, the hair follicles, and of course the hair. And I'll leave it on all day. Now, of course, it makes you look, you know, like this, like you've slicked back your hair, but no. Because tomorrow, when I wash this out, you'll see that my hair is fuller, lusterful, thick, healthy. And that's what we all want. And in that light, I'm finishing up in the next 4 weeks my current small-scale hair protocol on friends, and we'll see if it works. It's working for me because I measure my hair every day for 4 weeks. Then I cut it an exact amount, and then I do it again and again and again and again. This is finishing up 1 year. So I'm writing out all the things that work or don't work, what contributes to hair loss or hair gain, and natural hair. Natural coloration coming out. And I know this is absolutely positively true because let's go back to a classic study that I did back. In fact, there were so many people applied, it took us a week to process everyone every night at RFK High School over in the East Side. You had to be balding, thinning, or prematurely gray for at least 2 years. And then you came in and a whole group of medical doctors, nurses, examined your scalp and looked at your hair, and either you were qualified to get in or not of the study. The study lasted a year. We met every week for a year, 52 times. And at the end of the study, we found out that 5% of the people actually were able to grow new hair. The oldest person was 82. He had been virtually bald when he came in. He had been bald for 22 years. And at the end of that year, he had about a half inch of brown hair all over his head. Now, so for me, 5% is not a success. Statistically speaking, it is. And so I said, okay, well, I tried and it didn't work, and except for 5%. And then one day walking down Broadway, a young gentleman came up to me and I didn't recognize him and had on a beret, and he said, Gary, he says, remember me? And I said, refresh my memory, please. He said, I was in your hair study. I said, okay. And he said, I want to show you something. He took off his hat and he says, look at this. He said, I've got all new black hair coming in, and my hair that was receding way back is now all these new hair follicles. He says, man, he said, I said, well, what took so long? He said, well, and he said, reality was, I didn't come there to grow my hair. If it happened, good, but I came there to socialize. I'm a lonely guy. I'd not been in a relationship, and I felt maybe with like-minded people interested in health, I'd meet someone. Okay, fair enough. He said, but about 3 months ago, the woman I'm now dating, that I met because of that group, said, why don't you do the protocol? You listen to Gary's program, you don't do anything. And I said, you know, you're right. So I started doing the protocol, went back and went over all my notes. You had it all typed out. And lo and behold, when I'm doing it, I feel more energy. I sleep better. I wake up refreshed. I'm no longer fatigued. And now my hair is growing. And I'm getting better muscle mass. So I immediately spun around, went back up to 86th Street, Broadway, where I lived. I only had one employee. And I went in and I said, let's send out a notice to everyone who was in that study and just ask them, please tell us the full truth. Did you use 100% of the protocol? We got back about 400 responses over the next 2 weeks, and the answer was no. So I redid it, but this time I had criteria. You couldn't get into a class each week unless you proved that you had done your homework. You had to prove it. So then I had just the opposite, 92% success in regrowing hair, balding, thinning of the eyebrows, fingernails, and even measuring. They had been ridged and cracking easy, and fungus under the toenails, all that gone. Healthy, pink, hard nails. And skin improved. I wasn't even measuring your skin. Skin had tightened in people because of all the nutrients that recreate collagen, and we had turned off all the inflammation in the body. So all kinds of things improved. And that was started with 5,000 people, and we ended up with 1,500 people finishing the protocol with phenomenal results. So, yes, I'm improving on that protocol. A quantum step ahead. All kinds of new stuff that we can do to grow hair, if that's what you're interested in, and tighten our skin, make it healthier again, improve our circulation to our legs and our calves and our brain, help our nails. Yeah, all this is in the new protocol. It'll be free. It'll be public services, all my studies are, and I'll post it. And again, it's just a little tiny study, but it's an observational study, and I'm one of the guinea pigs, so that's why. In any case, we're also going to hear today, we're going to hear from Dr. Malone in a very compelling talk, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask for callbacks. And because of that, I can only do part of the program with this live Zoom feed. We'll go to a break. When we come back from the break, I will have done a commentary, Dr. Malone's and my own, that I wrote, and you can call in and respond. We have about Dr. McCullough going to be on for 10 minutes today. We have about 4 different audio clips we're going to play for you, all important, all relevant. Then you can talk back. Write it down, please. Our talk back number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. Now, from the Karolinska Institute, which is in Sweden and one of the most respected groups in the world, they find a receptor activated by substances formed from the omega-3 fatty acids. There's your good fatty acids. That's why when you eat almonds and walnuts and avocados and you have some flaxseed and or hemp seed into your diet, you're really helping your heart. Why? Because it has a vital role in preventing inflammation in blood vessels, and that causes atherosclerosis. This is the new study. It's just been published in the Journal of Clinical Investigations, a very respected group. So get your omega-3 fatty acids in and help keep heart attacks and strokes away. Now, there's also a way of using mindfulness to get back on track and stop being distracted all day long. There's no exact figure, but the best that scientists can come up with is that we have about somewhere between 50 and 55,000 thoughts a day in a 24-hour cycle. Some are split seconds, like that, they're gone. Others we spend more time focused on. But how do we keep on task? There was a great American pitcher, and Roger Clemens, and he won a huge amount of Cy Young awards. He had one of the fastest fastballs in history. And he was once asked in an interview, what's going on out there when you have all those tens of thousands of people, some booing you, some cheering you, and you're got to throw the ball? He says, I just focus upon, in my mind, the strikeout box, that area I have to get the ball into. He said, that is where my mind is. I'm completely focused. I'm in the zone. Now, we'd heard the word the zone, but nobody really knew what did the zone mean. And I can tell you that once I started doing Qigong, and once I started doing deeper meditations, and using biofeedback, and I began to see I could go into the zone when I chose to. When I was doing healing work, I was in the zone. When I was doing my lectures, where I'm absolutely spontaneous, extemporaneous, hundreds of thousands of people have attended my lectures, probably over a million. I've done thousands and thousands and thousands of lectures. As you'll see, I'm just there in front of a crowd. I frequently don't know what I'm going to say. In fact, I remember being asked to lecture in Florida, and I was here, and I just said, okay, and a car picked me up, and I was reading all the way over. I remember we pulled at the back of this place, and I put my book down, went in the back, and a guy came up and says, you ready? I said, sure, I'm ready. And he said, oh, by the way, last week, Dawn Wrinkles and a singer, famous singer, woman singer, appeared here, and you have a bigger crowd. We're sold out. This is the Civic Center, sold out, people standing in the aisles. He said, what are you going to talk about? True story. I said, I have no idea. He stopped. It's like a cold sweat. What do you mean? You don't know. I said, I don't know. That's not how I do a lecture. But look, I'm not afraid. I'm sure the audience is not afraid. They didn't come here to boo or leave. They came here to share an energy. So I'm going to share an energy with him. He didn't know what I was talking about. Anyhow, he's probably thinking, oh my God, you know. So I went out on stage, and there the place was packed. So I just spent a moment. I just read the energy. And then I went into the zone. I have no idea what I said. I spoke for 3 hours. Nobody left. Got a standing ovation. Went out, got in the car, and left. So when you're in the zone, and I'm sure many of you have been at different times in your life, all of your energy is concentrated. Virtually no distractions. You're pinpoint focused. You're allowing yourself to attach to a person, to an environment. Just imagine what it would have been like to have been one of the greatest photographers in American history. Do you know who I'm talking about? He was photographing his famous scenes in Colorado and other beautiful vistas out west. Know who I'm talking about? If you do, call in 888-874-4888. I'm sure there are people out there who know who this gentleman was. In any case, imagine what it's like. You're sitting before the absolute the majestic nature setting, and all you can do, your breath is taken away, you just think, wow, you're in the zone. You've just connected with that, the energy of that beauty you're sharing in that moment. But you can train your mind to get there. Buddhist monks, they can all go right into the zone. Yogas. By the way, did any of you see on the Gary Nall Show, which ran for 10 years, I just did it for 10 years, didn't want to do it more, and many of you were in the audience. Mary Wayne and Catherine Kagans were the producers, did a great job. And one of the shows I had on, I think it was with Mitchell Raven, but there was a yoga, and he was 100-plus years old. Exactly how old he was, we didn't know, but he was over 100. And he was able to do a position of lowering his breath. And we had a physician there, Dr. Martin Feldman, who took his pulse. His pulse was clear down into the 20s. Normally, you'd be rushed to a hospital. No, He can control his breathing. He can control his body temperature. But what he really amazed me, he sat on, he went down on his side, got up on his, from his elbow to his wrist, and his whole body was like a gymnast out. I've never seen that in my life. I've never seen anyone else that older than a gymnast do it. And he did it. That's when you're in the zone. Now imagine being in the zone a lot. Think what you could achieve. Think of what you wouldn't be distracted by. Think of the depression, the anxiety, think of all the negativity and toxic energy around you you wouldn't connect with. So just try to take some classes. You can take them online to do deeper mindful meditation. Because this is what this University of Cincinnati study showed. Everyone has times where their mind won't stay on task. For example, you might be listening to someone talk in a meeting or class, and your mind wanders to your dinner plans or what you're going to do that night. Notably, research suggests that 30% of our daily tasks, our mind wanders. Could be more or less. But mindful meditation brings it back and lets you get on to the task, do it better, because mindfulness helps us stay focused on the quality of our energy and the quality of our thoughts. This was published in the Journal of Cognitive Enhancement. Gallic acid, G-A-L-I-C, and stretching decreased osteoarthritis markers in cartilage cells. Washington University did this study, and what they found is they use gallic acid, G-A-L-L-I-C, an antioxidant found in, well, let's say, gallnuts, you might not have heard them, G-A-L-L-N-U-T-S, and green tea, that's a really good source of them, and they're applied and when you take them in the body, and then you do stretching exercises, the human cartilage cells taken from arthritic knees that mimics the stretching that occurs when walking, and the combination of the two, the stretching and that particular anti-inflammatory, ended up improving the production of a protein normally found in healthy cartilage. So therefore, power walking and stretching and having the simple antioxidant can make a difference, especially for those who want to have healthier joints from arthritis. A study shows that consumption of pro-inflammatory diet, that's the average American diet, the average European diet, some of Europe, the German diet's terrible, the English diet's abominable, and the Scottish diet, well, it's unfathomable. But other diets are phenomenal. The French diet, the Italian diet, the Spanish diet are all terrific. In any case, but the American diet, terrible beyond belief, because it's all pro-inflammatory. And it's associated with an increase in the frailty and of middle-aged people. So when one day you're vigorous and you're strong and you're athletic and you have energy galore and your body's toned, and then maybe the next year you get up and you look in the mirror and say, what the hell happened to my muscles? I'm looking down, I'm seeing a belly. Well, that's what happens when you consume a pro-inflammatory diet, all right? That's just one of the things. This was done at the Marcus Institute for Aging Research and published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, the very thing that I've been sharing with you all these decades. Oh, and also, those of you who are susceptible or have osteoarthritis, a new study shows that strawberries, I repeat, strawberries can help combat osteoarthritis. Therefore, try to have a pint of strawberries because they are strongly anti-inflammatory. They reduce pain associated with osteoarthritis. All right, and when you turn off the pain and you turn off the inflammation, then you can start restoring the integrity of those joints and tissues. And that's good. All right. And by the way, one more study just out, University in the United Kingdom, shows that aluminum, think of aluminum foil, aluminum cans, and think of all the things, aluminum deodorants. And we raised this issue back in the 1970s. I wrote articles on it. Yeah, nobody cared. But now, the 2021 World Authority on the link between human exposure to aluminum in everyday life, including all the vaccines, and its likely contribution to Alzheimer's disease, Professor Christopher Exley, who we've had on this program from Keele, that's K-E-E-L-E, University of the United Kingdom, says in a new report that it is inevitable that aluminum plays a role in Alzheimer's, which is one reason why, if you know someone who has dementia and Alzheimer's is a form of dementia, you should start chelation therapy under appropriate conditions with the appropriate holistic doctors who are experienced and have the actual protocols. And because chelation can take those heavy metals, lead, aluminum, mercury, cadmium, take them out of the body. And then you can turn off the inflammation and start rebuilding. That's the latest on health and healing. And oh, by the way, you know, all those people who on Wall Street who say, yeah, we only support good things. Well, Monsanto would plead guilty to illegally using pesticide in Hawaii and pay an additional $12 million fine. Just saying, why don't you look at the background of all these corporations on Wall Street, all these corporations in the food industry, all these corporations in medicine, and see how many of them are just serial offenders, and yet their reputation remains perfect. But if you or I do anything wrong, oh, then we're nailed, all right? And that's not good. So we're going to take a break now. When we come back, I'm going to do a commentary based upon, I'm going to do a commentary based upon what 16,000, let me repeat that, 16,000 medical doctors and scientists throughout the world have come together to sign a report saying, don't vaccinate your children. All right, what do they know? With all their expertise, with all their knowledge, with all their clinical experience, with a review of all the scientific literature, what do they know? They're willing to put their reputations online, 16,000 of them, compared to the talking heads who have no background in medicine, science, public health, nothing, but they've got their opinion. And now they're all sharing the same collective opinion. And what happens in your mind when you hear every single newscast saying the same identical words? That means they were given talking points. Who gave them the talking points? The news directors. Who told the news directors? The heads of the studios. Who told the heads of the studios? They're not, you know, brain surgeons. You know, these are not smart people. They're clever people. They're manipulative people. They're very good at keeping themselves above water when everyone else is sinking. The deep state and the pharmaceutical industry is telling them this. So, who do you want to believe? What is the evidence? I'll share the evidence with you. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you here listening and sharing. I asked a question earlier in the beginning of the program, and we have two people on board. We have Yvette from NIAC and Daryl from New Jersey. Let's say hello to Yvette from NIAC. Hi, Yvette. Your turn.
Hi. Hi. Is it Ansel Adams?
It is. You're right. And did you have the same answer, Daryl? Hi, Daryl.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I agree with Yvette. It's Ansel Adams.
You are both correct, and I'm sure many other people knew that as well. One of the greatest photographers in world history. And one of the reasons we can appreciate what things actually look like, and even people, was because of his great work. Thank you, Vos, for calling in.
Thank you.
I want to bring you all up to date. Now, I just want you to know, I wanted to call back in, but first, I want to give you the figures to work with. And you have to have everything in a context to have a really proper understanding of an issue. You can't get too close to an issue. If you get too close, then you're not going to see the surrounding circumstantial evidence. Here's what we know as of just an hour ago about what's actually happening with the numbers. And the numbers are staggering. I mean, staggering. And this is from Europe. And this is based upon what they have given us today. And I want to thank Brian Shilhavy of the Health Impact News for sharing this with us. As of today, through the UDRA Vigilance System, which is like our Vera system, they have 3,296 injuries, and at least 1 million of those are serious injuries. Many will be permanent injuries. So we can easily say that more than 1 million people may never recover from this. That's just in some of the countries in Europe. 32,649 have died. Now that's minimal. That's what they're acknowledging. So now you have 32,000 dying there. You have at least, realistically, over 100,000 dying in the United States. And I'll give you Dr. Rose's figures on an upcoming discussion, because she's going to come on the air and give it to the latest actual figures. And we don't even know what China, Russia, Africa, Brazil, and other countries have. So you're looking at a pharmaceutical, a genetically manipulated element, the RNA, that has killed more people, that it turns out, that American casualties in the First World War, and the injuries are staggering. We have at least 1 million injured in the United States. So how is it that we banned immediately any drug in America's history, including the 1976 swine flu vaccine? 20 deaths, we banned it. Turned out to be 50 actually died. We banned it. But now we're looking at something with hundreds of thousands of death, not a single word of condemnation. Millions upon millions injured, not a single word of caution. What does that tell you about the people running this? Now I'm going to share some really important work from a Dr. Malone. And by the way, Malone is a real heavyweight in science and in medicine, very pro-vaccine. In fact, he's developed vaccines. He's even been vaccinated for COVID. But before we go to him, for all the parents out there, here are 16,000 physicians and scientists. They're all agreeing your kids should not get COVID vaccines. They're not anti-vaccine. None of them are. They're pro-vaccine, but they're anti-COVID. And that's important you understand what they have to say. So before you vaccinate your child, keep in mind that whatever goes wrong, you can't reverse it. And whatever infection or injury occurs, it may be permanent. And if it's permanent to the heart, then you've just cut the lifespan of your child by many, many decades. So here's the concerns. There are three issues parents need to understand. One, their brain and nervous system is going to be impacted by the vaccine, by the spike proteins, and they're all toxic. All right? Two, their heart and blood vessels, including blood clots, their reproductive system is going to be affected, and also the vaccine is capable of triggering fundamental changes in your immune system. Now, earlier on, at the very beginning, Richard Gale and I spent 2 weeks reviewing all of the data we could find in the American scientific peer-reviewed literature, how many Americans suffer from some form of autoimmune condition. We came up with a figure of 130.5 million Americans. Wow. That's well over one-third of the entire population that no matter what else was going on in their life, that needed to be addressed and could be, they would be putting their lives at risk by being vaccinated. Now, you would have thought that the Surgeon General, the head of the CDC, Anthony Fauci, all the regular doctors who treat these people would have said, hold on a second, this person already has an autoimmune condition. That means their immune system is overworking, attacking itself. Now you're going to even stimulate it more? What do you think the outcome is going to be? Well, it was self-evident, and I said at the time, if you start giving this to people who are older with comorbidities, including autoimmune conditions, it's going to kill them. That's exactly what we've seen. We have thousands and thousands of dead senior citizens who will be alive today, but nobody wanted to have the courage to say, stop. This is not science. This is bad science fiction. This is not medicine. And that's what we're dealing with today. And yet to say that, you're condemned. The second thing you need to know is the fact that this novel technology has not been adequately tested. You need, realistically, 7 years, minimally 5 years of testing before you understand the efficacy and the safety issues. I've counseled thousands of individuals in my career who had delayed reactions to vaccines, sometimes 3 and 4 years before that really kicked in. So this is what's important. Now, this is what these doctors are saying. Quote, never in human history have old people required young people to take risks, make sacrifices, and die to preserve older people. We have a fiduciary duty to our children. Old people sacrifice themselves for children in a moral society, in a robust society, in a society that we are proud of. We do not tell children to take risks to preserve old people. We need to stand up and take a moral choice and an ethical choice for our children. End quote. All right? And that was stated at the Louisiana State Legislature. So we have to understand what is being said. And as these doctors said, they are no longer confident that children were not the targeted market. After all you have to do is watch television and you see who is out there promoting the vaccines for children. And yet all the science shows that children don't need the vaccines, and the children who've gotten the vaccines, I mean, they've had blood clots, heart attacks, strokes. Athletes all over the world are dropping dead. Not from COVID, from the COVID vaccine. Not a word of criticism on that. And also, we've been over-terrified by the new variant. Why? Because the science and the clinical experience, including the scientist in South Africa, who is head of the science down there, the health division, said that no one, not a single person up to that point, who had been diagnosed with the new variant, it had even had to go to the hospital. So in one way of looking at this, one group of immunologists and are saying, okay, this is a good thing, because as the variants coming from, and by the way, who creates the variants? Those who are vaccinated. And how is that manifesting? It's getting weaker, easier to spread, weaker in its impact. So shouldn't we have a vital program, a Marshall Plan all over the world to give people packets of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, preventatively, prophylactically? It's worked in Peru. It's worked in Mexico. It's worked in Argentina. It's worked in the largest populated state in India. It's worked all over Africa. And yet, no one wants to look at it. Shouldn't we build up a person's immune system so when they're infected, and eventually we're all going to be infected, it'll be a weakened strain infecting us, but a stronger immune system resisting it, therefore lessening the opportunity to get really sick or die. Put in vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D3, astragalus. Put in the things that we know can help build up the natural immune resistance, quercetin. That would be an inexpensive package to send out, and that would save millions of lives worldwide. Not a word. Helping people with serious comorbidities to reduce those comorbidities, not an effort. Go towards a healthy plant-based diet. Start juicing every day. Thin your blood. That helps reduce clots. Nothing. Zero. These people should be shamed, but they're not. That should tell you a lot of who they are. But you got 16,000 scientists standing on your side now. They're called the International Alliance of Physicians and Medical Scientists. And they're prepared to be blunt, concise about alerting parents of what you're signing up for when you agree to go along with the narrative that is being so actively sold to us. And here's just a question I'm going to throw out to the lawyers in the audience. We have a lot of lawyers listening. If vaccination is a medicine, who then by law is allowed to practice medicine? Who's allowed to dispense a medicine? Just asking. And is it not also part of medicine? You must inform a patient before taking a medicine, any medicine, of the side effects, the risks, and go even further and provide them with the package insert from the manufacturer showing them the drug side effects. Shouldn't you also be able to provide them, at the point of providing the medicine, the actual ingredients, inert ingredients and active ingredients? So if a person does have a side effect, mild or major or deadly, you at least have the insert to see, did these match any of the known side effects, and the ingredients, so you have a place to start, and then which vaccine did you get, what lot number is it? That's how you do real science. Everything else you see is goofball science. These are all dancing clouds. Shame on the entire medical, scientific, industrial complex. You are a disgrace. A disgrace. And the day will come when all of us who are looking at real science, public health, clinical experience will be on the right side. But by that time, we're going to have a graveyard larger than the state of Connecticut in front of us and the truth. And the others, they'll be Teflon proof. That's what the deep state corporate America does, protects those that participate in its doings. Now we're going to go to one of these doctors. Listen to what he has to say. His name is Dr. Malone, Robert Malone. And by the way, he has a resume that's 5 pages long. Oh, and by the way, one of our audience, Martin Barnes, was talking about trying to pass on a progressive commentary hour that was just this week. And people said, well, you know, no one really qualified. No one qualified? Dr. Harvey Reich is not qualified? Okay. Well, let's just look at his background and compare it to yours. He's a professor of epidemiology in the Department of Epidemiology and Public Health at the Yale School of Public Health and Yale School of Medicine. He received his MD degree from the University of California, San Diego, and a PhD in mathematical modeling of infectious epidemics from the University of Chicago. After serving as a postdoctoral fellow in epidemiology at the University of Washington, Dr. Reich was a faculty member in epidemiology and biostatistics at the University of Toronto before coming to Yale. Dr. Reich's research interests are in the area of cancer etiology, prevention, and early diagnosis, and the epidemiological methods. He is especially interested in the effects of reproductive factors, diet, genetic predisposition, histopathological factors, occupational, environmental, and medical exposures, infections, and immune functioning in cancer etiology. His major research projects have included studies of ovarian cancer, pancreatic cancer, lung cancer, bladder cancer, esophageal, stomach cancer, and cancers related to the usage of oral contraceptives. He is associate editor of the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, the most prestigious journal in cancer, editor of the International Journal of Cancer, and for the past 6 years, a member of the board of editors, the American Journal of Epidemiology, the foremost journal on epidemiological science in the world. He is also the author of more than 350 original peer-reviewed research publications in the medical literature. And by the way, do other doctors recognize him? How about this? Other scientists have reviewed his publications 43,000 times. Dr. Reich has an H index of 96 and is a member of the Connecticut Academy of Sciences and Engineering. So when he tells you that hydroxychloroquine saves lives, when he tells you that his research shows that we were counting people as dying from COVID when they were dying of comorbidities, when he tells you that early use of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and vitamin C and zinc and vitamin D3 can save lives, that those who have better experience as clinicians and scientists challenge him. He is open to debate you. So, here's a challenge. Those of you who are pro-vaccine but have no experience, no clinical background, no scientific background, no knowledge of human health or common sense, debate him. Debate him. All right? It's so easy to be self-righteous, indignant, hateful, spiteful, and dumb all at the same time. And there's no shortage of that in our country today. Now we go to someone, and by the way, everyone I have on this program has similar types of background. So take them on. We'd love to see the dialogue exchange. Now we go to Dr. Robert Malone.
My name is Robert Malone. I'm a physician and a scientist, but more importantly, I'm a father and a grandfather. I don't usually read from a prepared speech, but this is so important that I wanted to make sure that I got every single word and fact, scientific fact, correct. I stand by this statement with a career dedicated to vaccine research and development. I'm vaccinated for COVID, and I'm generally pro-vaccination. I've devoted my entire career to developing safe and effective ways to prevent and treat infectious diseases. After this, I'll be posting the text of this statement so that you can share it with your friends and family. Here's the thing. Before you inject your child, a decision that is irreversible, I wanted to let you know the scientific facts about this genetic vaccine, which is based on the RNA vaccine technology I created. There are three main issues that parents need to understand before they take this irrevocable decision. The first is that a viral gene will be injected into your parent's cells. This gene forces your child's body to make toxic spike proteins. These proteins often cause permanent damage in children's critical organs. These organs include their brain and nervous system, their heart and blood vessels, including blood clots, their reproductive system, and most importantly, this vaccine can trigger fundamental changes to their immune system. The most alarming point about this is that once these damages have occurred, they are irreparable. They cannot be reversed. You can't fix the lesions within their brains. You cannot repair heart tissue scarring. You cannot repair a genetically reset immune system. And this vaccine can cause reproductive damage that could affect future generations of your family. The second thing you need to know is about the fact that this novel technology has not been adequately tested. We need at least 5 years of testing and research before we can really understand the risks associated with this new technology. The harms and risk from new medicines often become revealed many years later. I ask you to ask yourself, as a fellow parent, if you want your child to be part of the most radical experiment in human history. One final point. The reason they're giving you to vaccinate your child is a lie. Your children represent no danger to their parents or grandparents. It's actually the opposite. Their immunity after getting COVID is critical to save your family, if not the world, from this disease. Finally, in summary, there's no benefit for your children or your family to be vaccinating your children against the small risks of the virus, given the known health risks of the vaccine that is apparent you and your children may have to live with for the rest of your lives. The risk-benefit analysis is not even close with this vaccine for children. As a parent and grandparent, my strong recommendation to you is to resist and fight to protect your children.
Okay. Now, he has put his whole reputation on the line, as have these other 16,000 physicians and scientists. You won't hear one of them mentioned in the media. They're all being attacked on the mainstream platforms. Wikipedia is trashing these people. So They're putting it out there for you. We're going to take some calls now, as I promised. Marianne, you're on the air.
Hi, Gary. I just want to thank you for being an early influence in my life when I was like 16, 40 something years ago, and really changed my life nutritionally. The thing I wanted to say, I loved your essay yesterday. It was brilliant. The one thing that I wanted to talk about was our right to bear arms, I believe, is one of the reasons why they're not coming into people's homes with this vaccine. I believe it's why we're not looking at what we see in Australia. And I think it's a really important amendment to defend, even in light of what you just described and these incredible contradictions where we're not dealing with real reality. We're not taking care of problems. I don't know if you've read Parable of the Sower, but that's what it sounds like in Los Angeles.
Let me interject for a moment and ask you a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Name me four governments in the 20th century that banned guns, said they must make a society safe by taking away the guns, and then the consequences to the citizens who had no way of defending themselves. Name me four.
I can't.
Sure you can. Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, and Pol Pot.
There you go. All right. So
understand something. You can choose not to own a gun, but constitutionally, we're allowed to own a gun.
Thank God.
And I look at the government, and I look at the Justice Department, and I look at how corrupt it is, and I look at all the agencies that are corrupt, and all of them are corrupt, and they have no history of being honest. They have a long history of not being honest. And then I ask, what is the likely outcome if no one spoke up on any issue, if they made it against the law to speak up? Now, they just tried making it against the law for any parent, no matter what the legitimacy of their complaint, and no matter what tone they choose, yes, most civil and calm tone. If you challenge a local board in a school, and the school board deems that what you're saying is a threat, they can turn you over to the Justice Department and you become listed as a domestic terrorist. That's where we're at. And you are right. Yep. Look at Australia. I feel sorry. I have a lot of listeners right now in Australia, and they share this information. But they're a nation that did not stand up when they should have. They did not protest the actions. They did not use the science, the legitimate science, to show that the quarantining, the lockdowns, and the mass vaccinations were legitimate. All they had to do is look at Israel. If you're over 60 in Israel, there's about 100% chance you've had three vaccines, a booster vaccine, all right? You've had three, and yet 90 to 95% of people, according to Dr. Rose, who's been there and studied that, I believe she's Israeli, and said that it's the vaccinated spreading the variant. It's the vaccinated who are going to hospitals. It's the vaccinated who are dying. We did a report showing that the false reports out about the unvaccinated one filling up the hospitals was a lie. We challenged and did an article. You can read it on GaryNull.com that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were, you know, garbage drugs that were dangerous. Just the opposite. It's the thing that saved lives. So when the government lies at every level, what are the consequences when you challenge it? So what now is they first take away your right of free speech. They then burn the books and articles that they don't want you to get to the public. They then ban you from any platform of reaching the public. They excoriate you and cancel you in all of the platforms. And that is modern day totalitarianism. And that's what I'm concerned about. Thank goodness people still have some rights. And as long as we maintain those rights, then the government knows that there is a red line they cannot cross, or there'll be a huge backlash. And I believe there will be a big backlash, and it's deserved. Thank you very much, Marianne. One last call from Anne from London. Hi, Anne.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon, Dr. Nell. I have a short question, which is causing confusion. I also read and listened to an interview given by Christine Massey. According to her, and Christine is a biostatistician, she's gathered information for over a year concerning the novella coronavirus SARS-2. She's contacted several health institutions worldwide, including the CDC, and she submitted Freedom of Information Act requesting those institutions for an isolated SARS-CoV-2 virus. And none of the countries have been able to come up. And they have all said that they have not isolated the virus. Could you share with us your opinion about this this statement, please?
I would be happy to, and thank you very much, Anne, from London, for sharing that thought. And please get as many of the articles, they're free, on COVID and all these other issues, and the documentaries and the videos, and share them with as many people over in London as possible. I read the article, and here's my concern. I believe that she is inaccurate. I believe that a lot of her material is correct, but I believe that they have completely isolated the genome on this, and they actually had to create the genome, because this was artificially created in a laboratory in Wuhan. How it was released, why it was released, under what circumstances, we do not have that completely clarified. It's speculative, and I won't speculate. I'll wait till the actual evidence is, and we'll probably have that evidence when a whistleblower comes forward from Wuhan and tells us, shows us. But they created this. They've been working on this for over 20 years. Now, on tomorrow's program, I'm going to give you a 30-page, I'm going to post it, 30 pages of timelines between the great economic reset, Klaus Schwab, and the Economic Forms Project, using the pandemic to implement their protocols. All right? That's different than saying they created it. I'm not saying they created it. I'm saying they've used the pandemic to implement this. And you'll see the same cast of characters on both sides. But they know everything about this genome. And so, I disagree with her on that, but certainly appreciate other work she's done. Thank you very much. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned. Utrecht Lead coming at you right now.